Blog Talk Radio.
Something was happening, and something in the
I continued with this for many, many years, and I never seemed to use that connection, because every so often I look over this. Dialogue and seeing but I hope that somehow I can narrate this, because it was an important period of my life when this work came to me. I spent a great deal of time on it in a very strange way. It's almost as though I lived it, when you develop a dialogue or a play, the play began from an interesting been imprisoned by his friend, the King of Spain, for creating that great scandal in the court. Brandis, this is the introduction to this play. And it also lists the characters of the play. There are only 2, 3, 4, 5 in this first act. Brandis, as a court poet, was commissioned by the king to write a poem to the queen. By doing so, the queen fell in love with Brandis, and the poem was considered an insult to the king after the queen admitted to her confessor that she loved Brandis. Brandis was accused of soliciting an affair with the queen. He was imprisoned for treason to the throne and condemned by the church for adultery. Aurandus professed his innocence, but was imprisoned without a trial at the rage of the king. And the play takes place in a dungeon cell. And Aurandus faces the floor, speaking to himself, trying to decide what to do and prove his innocence. The characters in this act are Aurandus. Aurandus, again, not only was he the court poet, but he was also an admiral of the fleet. Spanish fleet. And the play takes place in the dungeon cell. The characters are Aurandus, Carlos the guard, the king, queen, Padre, and Pedro. Aurandus begins, says, "Ah, what a fool I am. What a divine idiot savant I have become. My gift is the cause of my destruction. 1,000 men I have destroyed in battle and remain unscathed by the blades of enemies. Now, to be imprisoned and face execution for treason by inflaming the heart of my dearest friend and king with jealousy and with shame. How vexed I am to bear this gift of words, that I should cut off my hands and tongue. I would still hear the song that so possessed my spirit. Ah, but it was not the gift that cursed my station, but my own vanity, my own accursed pride. I so loved and adored my queen that I would defend her honor fiercely in battle against legions of giants, that I so loved my friend and king that he trusted me to speak to her for him. Last, my insane vanity that I believed I could have possibly acted as a medium to their passionate spirits, and believed I could succeed without burning my own soul. Those words, those heartfelt throbbings of love I possessed but dared not divulge, exploded into quatrains of divine longing. She knew her king could never have expressed to her what I stated so boldly and passionately, that my words swayed her love and passion towards me. Oh, sweet Jesus of mercy, I did not intend that my life as hostage to commit adultery with the queen. How great God will of Aurandus escape the execution blade." Aurandus pauses and paces the cell for a moment, sighs and speaks with a sigh, a slight relief and revelation. Carlos. Aurandus walks over to the cell door and calls for the guard. guard is an officer of the king's own guard, given special assignment to watch over Orlando's from here. He may dupe other jailers and escape. His charge of jailer, his change of jailers is unknown to Orlando's. Orlando's says, "Guard! Guard!" The officer comes to the cell door as Orlando's recognizes him and asks why he is his jailer. The guard says, "Orlando's, what is it you want?" "Carlos," Orlando's replies, "why are you asking me? Why are you attending me? Am I so honored a prisoner as to want the second officer of the King's Guard as my jailer?" Carlos says, "Aye, Orlando's, you are the most notorious prisoner in Spain, in all of Spain. The King trusted no one other than his own guard to watch over you for fear you might escape. The King is well too aware of your wiles. He states that even a battalion of crack troops might be swayed by you to allow you to escape. So only the loyalists to the king were assigned to guard your cell." Randall said, "I am flattered that he would think so highly of me even now." Carlos says, "It is not flattery he bestows on you, Randall, but caution. All of Spain desires your head, and the church has deemed that you be burned at the stake. My friend, only God or Satan can get you out of the cell before the king decides what action to take with you." Randall says, "Carlos, my good old friend, how is it you speak so openly to me?" Carlos, chuckling, "Randall, you old fox, I think of how many hens you have fostered over the many years we've been friends. Some I have fostered with you, and you've escaped unharmed. But this hen was owned by the king. What were you thinking?" Narendra said, "Carlos, my friend and guardian, as I live in peace, perhaps my last hours of life, I swear to you, I did not intend the queen to fall in love with me. I wrote the poem as commissioned by the king, and he himself approved my words before they were presented to him." Carlos said, "Ah, my old friend, such is the bitter duty of our king to imprison his dearest friend, to protect the honor of his country. Even now the queen locks herself in her chambers and refuses to speak with him until he releases you from prison. She has confirmed her love for you to him, and he is now inflamed with jealousy. He has imprisoned you here for your own safety and to ensure you as a safe distance. You are a safe distance from the queen." apologize, folks, for having this out of order. I have it in single. I don't have it on a I actually have it. I wrote this on an old disc, and I have it all printed out. And I'm reading it from actual pages, unfortunately. The pages are out of order. Just hold on for a second. I'm going to go to a quick music break. It's about halfway through the show. And I'll be right back as soon as I figure out what happened here. So bear with me, folks. I'll try to play a pretty song. That order, in other words, so I can try I just read the first four pages in the introduction, and now we begin with page five of the first act.
Thank you.
his dream was of you and how you were suffering on the rack. And he said it amused him, and he felt merciful to you. Also, water was more than he could grant to you to drink. It was more than he should grant to you to drink. Arandas said, it is good that the king merely dreams of my torture and expresses mercy. Perhaps he will dream of my death and set me free. I thank you for your service, Carlos. Carlos says, please note, Arandas, it was I who suggested the barrel of water to avoid your more interruptions of his majesty's sleep. Miranda says, aye, old friend, I appreciate your concern for the king's rest, that of yours, and my convenience. Carlos says, the king stated that your estates were reclaimed by him as part of your punishment for treason, and since you have no legitimate heirs, you have no one to bequeath anything to. But he states that you may write whatever you wish, provided it does not concern the king or queen, and no apology will be accepted. Cut all avenues for retreat to advance, but I have no need for wealth or estate, nor for apology. He has left me only my heart, and in this way he honors me. Carlos says, he decides your fate in counsel with many. Know that the guard has petitioned him for leniency toward you, and all the military awaits the outcome of this decision and have threatened to fight even the church if they can so condemn you, as they now scream to the king for your head. Brandis says, good friend, I am not worthy of such concern from so many. For my honor, I no longer care. Let those who defend me, that they will always have my soul's regards. But they must not enrage the king further, nor endanger themselves with the church. Let this be my message to them. Tell them that my fate now rests with God and the king. Carlos leaves as Arandas sits at his table to write. Arandas says, it is good that my friend allows me the amusement of this game. As boys, I would hear the music in the wind and describe it to him. We were akin as dual spirits. As a poet to a prince has always been my station, and so it is again. How grand a place on this earth has God granted for this wretched soul to be. So I must begin what may be my final work, my final symphony of poetry. Ah, that God's words may fill my heart with love and passion, so I may be clear and perfect as my hand allows. Now to the task. I dedicate this book to love and honor, the two great virtues that have eluded me my entire life. In my attempt to capture these virtues before my death, I must raise the level of my lust to love and my shame to honor. Forgive me for announcing you as my most current love, but I so love you. You are the essence of soul, the delicate scent of heaven, the rose of passion. Above queens and noble women, you are a poet. You are a soul of spiritual splendor. Your creative mind fills my songs and interprets them in love. As we lie upon the spring grass, you place your arms around me. Create divine poetry. Blessed Lila, my sacred muse, in your eyes I see a goddess, in your voice I hear a singer. The second point, around this right, see the warmth of your smile and sunlight in your hair and sadness in your eyes. I sense the urgency of tomorrow when I speak to you. It's strain in your voice when you laugh. Through our history, we have aged, and the bright light of our friendship has turned to gold. You have nurtured my broken spirit, and I have defended you. You have harbored my soul, and I have promised eternal friendship. In the distance of our paths, we cross now and then, and I miss your love and patient heart until we meet. Another girl, another book, this poem, he writes, is to Michelle. My designer of distant dreams, how your beauty overwhelms me now as I recall our dream. In the splendid darkness of those days when all was blind, you saw me, you understood my poetry. Sweet, magical mistress, now I recall your magic, and I am still spellbound by you. As I renew my vision, I wish to revise our dream that only you and I have seen. On this page, I write this poem. I wish the world to see you as I do. May your name become immortal. Dark reflection in the black, clear water glimmering in the luster of moonlight. I raise my eyes to adore you when I am in a far-off place. I was the painter who first captured your wild beauty. I was the poet who first sang your praise. I gave these to you for the reply of your smile, our memory, and your soft, sweet, inspiring kiss. You gave me the magic to create a world and create your perfect image. Now I must release you from time. I must create you again to break the spell of the broad brush of age and the bright colors of love and wisdom. So I will know you as you were, as you are, forever. Her silhouette was shrouded in the dim light of the open doorway of her bedroom. She leaned on the banister watching me as I was about to leave through the front door. I meant to tell her how beautiful she was and thank her before I left. I wanted to tell her I would return, but I didn't. I wanted to tell her how I loved her Saturday mornings, her genuine smile and diamond eyes. I loved her casual costumes, her laughter, and that I would harbor her memory forever. There were so many thoughts I could have shared with her, secrets I would whisper to no one. But the chaos of my existence annoyed her. The perfect world was disoriented, was distorted, my liar create the most outrageous stories. She's not a liar. Neither fiction nor poetic license were used to create her image. This metaphor of a woman, this whisper of wonder, once entered my life. Changes the tone. Well, on the stock, beautiful memory. And he writes more. In the dark, unquenchable passions of night, you led me to the waters. Wild in the summer moonlight, the feel of your body in my arms, the delicate taste of you on my tongue, the heat of the summer midnight soothes. Silver gloss. Your lips send a current of electric force. Pagan promise of tomorrow fades a false moon. Your beauty is benign, dark pleasures, a warm color of heaven. then he writes his next poem to Elisha. Fine young wine, white, tall, pregnant, glistening in a crystal realm, sparkling in the sun's rays as a prism of the wonderful colors of youth. You developed your beauty from hatred into a fine understanding of the men. I dressed my eyes with your stare. Earnest, it is not what it seems. The beauty is forever astounding. Alicia has smiled for me. Let me see your eyes sparkle as pure pools of light. Let me imagine the delight of your kiss, that heavenly inspiration. Think of you, I enter a moment of wonder. A moment with kissing the soft words you spoke far away within your eyes. I see your image before me, your soft, subtle hands and sultry, Swedish smile. Kiss me again in the nights when you are alone, and I will see you in the moon. I see your travels to your beautiful land, invited to your bed as you sleep. There I will rest with you for some hours. I look. Because of the reasonable, he became unreasonable on choice to elevate to the bed from the king. To enjoy the dazzle of diamonds and scent of roses and moon, crushed in sweet days and graces when the moon, the rest of the sun, and to eclipse the world for a passion. We were here as the night falls from the earth and engulfed the day, leaving us blind to wonder as I like. Colored eyes, your breast beating, and passion announcing. You stopped. again and wrote Anna. And Anna said, I wrote, I saw your debut with the diamond on the stage. I saw your aura traveling. Refrain the blank, I see your smile, I see your shoulders. these pure feminine spirits might be rescued from all pain brought on them by my difference and shame. Dawn light beams through his window. He says, O most worthy light that mocks my wretched soul, I cannot feel more nor speak more than I have already done. As dawn has brought the new day, so may I lead in my lead in this world. Now I am prepared to rest my body upon the same, except my death will be born again. Carlos comes to the door with news and says, Oh, the great Arandus rises early to greet the day, such is the courage of this great man. Arandus, please do not mock me, for even the sting of the friend is painful with me now. Carlos said, I am sorry, Arandus. I felt some humor might cheer you up. I heard you rise and brought you breakfast. Arandus said, I thank you, brother, but it is not food I desire now, but a priest. Carlos said, a priest? Since when have you ever wished to confide in a priest? Your confessions would kill the poor fellow. The king has allowed your visit with the Padre, and I have brought him. The king was most concerned at your request, but said nothing, and immediately granted it. Padre Pedro is here. Little Padre walks into the cell as Arandus rises from his bed to meet him. Arandus says, Dear friend, I thank you for coming. It's true that you are here. Of you is to bring my manuscript to power. I publish it in the city. enough to restore honor to the kingdom of men. Father, how so, my son? Their torment is nearly beyond their capacity to endure. Brandon says, please do this for me. Place it under your cloak and pass the balance. Father, what is this book about? people want to call us powerless wolves and some of our Padre leaders. Carlos watches the power of the Padre leave and returns to around the saint. There goes the saint. What a magnificent man he is. Arise from his deathbed to come and see you. It is most touching to see such devotion in a man and to see such respect for you around us. I am certain that if a man as Padre Pedro has respect and faith in you, God will find the way to save you. You're too serious now, my friend. Let me eat my breakfast, Lord. It's now time for lunch. Carlos, let me get your lunch for you, Arandis. I am quite hungry as well. Perhaps I will join you for lunch, since the king has not stated I cannot speak with you, and it is near your scheduled hour. Perhaps today I might find some ale, or I can see the barrel of water as not that overly appealing to you. Arandis, this would be most appealing with my humble fare. Brother Carlos, today I feel wonderful. I feel the weight of the world lift from my shoulders, and the one that comes to me be a blessing from God and friend. Carlos says, very good, my brother. I am so heartened to see you in good spirits again. Let my king be served by my friendship to his friend. We are as brotherly friends. We are as a brotherly. Loyal unto death, but with final allegiance to the king. I will inform him later of your visit to the Padre and say how well you look upon his departure. This, I think, will make him rest easy, knowing you are not in final despair. Miranda says, I feel so well today. I request the king to join me in my banquet of bread and water. Tell him that the season is a bit dull, but the spirit is most buoyant. My joy of this long friendship sustains me, friend, regardless of the outcome of this mess we have gotten ourselves into. Carlos says, I will go to him now, Arandis, and extend your invitation to lunch. You will think you have gone mad, yet for some reason I do not think you will decline your offer. Arandis says, ask if you might prefer to arrange a more kingly fare for his royal appetite, and if so, invite the whole of his guard, for I truly miss my friends, and tell him to locate all who would dine with me and invite them as well. Carlos, my friend, I believe you are mad, but it is not without possibility that many of your friends will accept his opportunity to dine with you. Friends, go then, dear friend, for I am about to entertain the nobility of Spain in my dungeon cell. Here, they will feast on the finest water and bread for the discriminating table of Arandis. Carlos, perhaps once again, Arandis, but I think not now. Allow me to invite you to share the table of an officer of the guard. And this, I believe, your presence at the station be more than allowed you to elevate. Arandis says, well, very well, Carlos. I am honored by your generosity and sincere in my thanks to you in your invitation. Carlos says, very well, brother. I will see what I can scrounge up for lunch. Perhaps I might browse to the king's kitchen for a chicken or two, a pint or two of ale. Carlos says, please, my brother, I am most honored, but do not risk anything for me. Your friendship is worth more than all the finest fare of the king's traps. Carlos says, Arandis, you know the king's kitchen is where the guard receives their meals. I hope you are not slighted that I jeopardize nothing for extending you my invitation except for a chance to enjoy my lunch with you if you should decline that. Arandis, so be it that Arandis will have lunch with the most noble and gracious officer in Spain. Arandis and Carlos are eating lunch in the cell. And the king walks in behind Carlos and says, is this how the most notorious criminal in Spain suffers? I have had dreams of you pining away in great thought and admonition. I have expected to see you on your knees weeping to God for forgiveness and to spare your life. I can see you are not in the least worried and have already corrupted the most loyal officer in my entire army. Carlos falls back up his chair as Arandis helps him up. King sits down on the hay mattress and shakes his head and says, "What is it by you? What kind of spirit are you, Alanis? How can any man be such a lord and at the same time be loved by all who know him and many who don't? The church, as we speak, is petitioning me to burn you at the stake for sedition, adultery, and witchcraft. They feel your poetry was an incantation that charmed the queen into loving you. I have known you since we were children. I have been under your spell in some way ever since. But I know you are innocent of any crime this way. The queen is now in love with you, Alanis. How, pray tell, has this happened? By my own admission, I love her as well that you stated in your poem that I commission. Ah, the fickleness of a woman's heart is a curse to all men. You know I love her deeply, Alanis. How can I win her back? She will not speak. You will speak to me unless I release you. But I cannot release you until the church and your enemies drop the charges against you. If the queen would recant her confession, perhaps, but her confessor felt he must inform me of her sin when she would not. I wish that palsy wrath would have left me enough alone, would have left well enough alone, but he hates you, Alanis, for killing his brother in your drunken duel some 20 years ago. Now he plagues me with the worst decision of my rule. He denies speaking the word to anyone, but his rumor could have only started by him. Blast that wretched, this wretched soul. I would have killed him had the queen of her guilt not spared his wretched life. What can I do around this but keep you here for now until the storm calms down? I admit I was angry and jealous and feared you might have duped me. But I know you too well, my friend, and except for Carlos, believe you to be the most loyal friend and subject to me. Carlos interrupts, "Your Majesty, I'm honored. Please forgive me if I have displeased you. But I thought Arandis was of no threat to me, or to you, and the share of my life." Arandis said, "Yes, my king. I had requested that you join us, but our friend Carlos wished me to die in this coffin moment. But he did say you might have been interested in accepting my invitation." I might have had the invitation been made to me. Why did you not mention it to me, Carlos? Brandis. He was concerned that I might have been mad. So I told him to have you write all of the nobilities feigned to dine with me on the finest fare of bread and water available to the discriminating tastes of Brandis. The king said, I can see how he thought you were mad, but so am I and half the nobility of Spain. I must be mad to feel offense that my dearest friend did not invite me to lunch on bread and water in his prison cell. Carlos said, I'm most sorry, Your Majesty. I didn't think that you would have accepted and thought I was weak of mind to suggest it. Miranda said, you, my dear Carlos, are the only one in this kingdom that has a mind. That is why you were given this assignment to watch me. He said, yes, Carlos, I could trust no one else with this spot. He would have had another man guarding him hog-tied and caged within an hour. But you, he would respect, and you, I believe, would not betray me, even though you felt the sentence was unjust. Miranda says, I am glad you said this, my king. But I have been guilty of several crimes and unjust departure, out of vanity and deceit. Perhaps now, as I see what has happened, I am misinflamed with the queen. Because of you, my lord, because I thought that I would feel the love you felt for her and express it before you. In so doing, I overindulged my own fantasy and went too far in my expression of love, and she knew it was not you that you spoke to her. I'm just ready for a storm. And try not to find it by next week. That will be the second part. Now we leave it at page 36. Yes, I saw this too, but your sentiment was so perfectly stated, and my trust in you so explicit that I allowed it to be said, like a fool, handed it to her. Oh, my friend never was a king, woman, greatly fool. Miranda says, you are not a fool, great friend. You are merely a patron of the poet. You have granted me in your patronage and friendship the chance to create the finest works I can. In your friendship and trust, I have been heralded in the poet explaining. I am not great, that great, Your Majesty. You are. All the people who know you, or who know that you are, and believe even in this matter, that your wisdom will solve this problem. I do as well, my friend. I accept that fate may be decided. I only ask that if my choice be the execution of play at stake, that you, Miss King, may get the blade. I will console you on this, that if it is to be, then the blade it will. Carlos, is the decision here, my lord? King says, unless a miracle happens to reinstate the king's love for me and convince the people of Spain and the church, Durandus did not seduce her, then all I can offer you, my friend, is your method of execution. Durandus says, that is enough for me, my lord and friend, but know that as we speak, another way exists without dishonor to anyone, myself. Even to myself, I do less than I had anticipated. King says, what is that, Durandus? What have you crafted now that could get you out of here?